Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. Some churches teach that baptism is an act that should be accomplished in the lives of little babies. I grew up in a church that practiced infant baptism. They did so because of a belief that it was the replacement of circumcision in the Old Testament, and the male child was circumcised on the eighth day, and they said, well, see, here's a child who is receiving the promise of God, and it's a little baby, and therefore baptism, since it replaces circumcision, should be done to infants. Well, there's a problem. Circumcision was only done, obviously, to the males. So only men should be baptized then. Well, that's not right. The problem in the reasoning is that baptism never has replaced circumcision. Baptism is that which is given to the church. Circumcision was that which was given to Israel. The church is not a replacement for Israel. And there's where the real problem lies. It was deemed by many that the church replaced Israel. Israel is still in the plan of God. Israel one day will recognize her Messiah and receive Him. The church will have been raptured by that point. The church will be out of here, and God will be dealing directly with Israel again. So the idea that baptism is a replacement for circumcision just doesn't fly. Should we be bringing little babies to the baptism? Well, some would say, according to Acts chapter 16, that it is certainly possible. The Apostle Paul and Silas were out evangelizing, and as what normally happens, there are those who object to that, and they were seized, they were thrown in jail. It's an interesting thing that happened beginning at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, because had the prisoners escaped, the Romans would have taken care of that for him. He was just going to beat them to the punch, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we all are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This guard recognized that now he was the one who was captive to sin. He recognized that what was transpiring around him was a supernatural act of God. His heart convicted him, and he knew he needed the forgiveness that Paul and Silas were enjoying in the midst of their, to say the least, uncomfortable circumstances. What must I do to be saved? And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to, please note with me, the next word. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, I need to back up. I missed a verse, didn't I? And no one said a word. And they said unto him, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." You believe, and you'll be saved. And not only that, your house too. And some have said, okay, if the leader of a home comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the whole home is therefore saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to, what's the next word? All that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and
all.
Thank you. I thought the waters were deafening the sounds around here or something. All his house. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What transpired here? One man had his heart convicted by a supernatural act of God. Now, God doesn't always work in earthquakes to bring people to their realization of their sins. But however God acts, it is a supernatural act. And this man came face to face with his own sin, face to face with his own need of salvation. And Paul and Silas promised him that if he simply would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, notice no addition of baptism there, that he would be saved, and the possibility existed, not only him, but all that were near and dear to him. And he took him that very same hour, provided cleansing for his wounds. That tells you a little bit about the heart of this man. Here was a man, Paul and Silas, thrown into jail, had been beaten, and no one even bothered to provide a little cleansing for their wounds. He couldn't care less about them. But he truly repented. He changed his mind. He provided some washing for their stripes. He said, "You guys are in pretty bad shape. Let me wash your stripes." And was baptized. And all his immediately. Why all his house? Because they were all believing in God. Apparently, all that were in his house were old enough to hear a message about Jesus Christ and make a volitional change in life, in thought, and consequently in deed. And Paul said on the basis of that, he would baptize all of them. There is not one hint in Scripture of babies being baptized. In fact, the early church didn't practice it for the first couple hundred years of its existence. Can anyone be baptized? No. James asked the question, what does it profit a man if he says he has faith? And the answer is, anyone can say they have faith. Anyone can come to me and say, "Pastor, I believe Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized." And on the basis of that, if I believe that it's genuine, I'll baptize them. But if it's not genuine, all I have done is made them wet. I've not baptized them. The only ones who can come to the true baptismal waters are those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior.